That follows the safe words. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. You haven't just tuned into the S&M episode. Jackpot is not the safe word in that situation.
I was thinking of S&M. I was thinking of like terrorist training.
I was thinking just
I was watching Idiot Abroad the other day.
Oh,
where
okay.
He gets kidnapped.
Oh.
Or kidnapped in...
Inverted commas.
In inverted commas.
I was thinking of Wolf of Wall Street.
Nice segue, Ben.
Yeah, nice segue, wasn't it?
You
know, that whole S&M scene with a candle up his bum. If you haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street yet...
Spoilers and...
Spoiler alert.
You may
and,
be disgusted.
And honest to God, you'll either be... You know, you could be disgusted or you could be aroused, but you'll be aroused in a bad way.
Did you hear actually... well, first of all, it's a great film.
It is a very good film.
It's very graphic. And
a lot of swearing, lots of drugs. It's one or two close-up shots away from pornography is what I'm going to say.
It's pretty heavy. Do you hear actually, it got banned in a couple of countries.
I'm not surprised.
And in India, they had to cut three scenes out.
Which
scenes? Like to hear the three scenes.
Yes, go on then. Is it the...
No, the three scenes are...
Okay.
There's a gay orgy scene.
That's understandable. The whole lots of gay men giving blowjobs in an apartment. That's understandable. I completely forgot about that
scene.
There's
a scene where Jonah Hill masturbates.
That's gone as well.
In a crowded party.
That's gone as well.
You see
that's one of the highlights of the film.
So that got cut in the Indian version. And then the final scene. It's a scene at the start where Leonardo DiCaprio is blowing... cocaine up
a prostitute's bottom.
Yes, and that got cut out of the Indian version.
Very Whitney Houston.
That's what I thought exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Yeah,
I didn't want to. I didn't want to turn to you in the cinema. But yeah, no, I remember another scene like this. Well, the thing is, the film is so long that you just kind of forget about half the shit that happened in it.
Yeah,
like the cocaine up the bottom one.
That's at the start. That's
like it's weird. It's like it's quite weird because all you see is just an arse sticking in the air.
Yeah,
it's like the camera crests the mountaintop, and you just see Leonardo DiCaprio with a straw.
It's so bizarre.
And then of course there's the.
McConaughey.
Oh, McConaughey. We were talking about last week. He's really fucking good, innit?
This is great. Yeah.
He's brilliant. He has like a 10-minute, as we were saying beforehand.
It's basically a cameo.
He has a cameo in it for like 10 minutes.
As DiCaprio's first boss on Wall Street.
And his cool mentor.
Kind of shows him the ropes.
Yeah.
Tells him what he needs, which is basically...
Masturbation and
twice
cocaine.
Twice a day.
Yeah.
And then cocaine.
First when you wake up in the morning, then after lunch.
Yeah.
There you go. That keeps you focused.
What was the line there as well? Pretty soon you get so good that you'll be thinking about money when you
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is the song McConaughey just
played. Yeah, he just and the weird thing is the scene starts with that as well.
Like
just DiCaprio's
face being like
what?
Like bemused, and then it just cuts to McConaughey go
pounding his chest. Mm-hmm. They did a good job of making him look 22.
They did a very good job.
Like, the makeup is quite the makeup department deserve props because they make him like 22 and then 26. They do well.
And especially because he's going to be 40 this year. So
yeah.
I mean, obviously he looks young because he's Caprio. But they did very well. Yeah.
And some of it was very funny.
I suppose he was able to look older when he's 26 because it was a drug adult 26.
Yeah, a drug adult 26 year old.
Make you look a little
all
bit
that cocaine up the bottom, you know, doesn't do you any good.
And the lewds. Oh, that scene. The scene where he's on Quaaludes and he's trying to get to the car.
Oh, yeah. And he's
drooling.
He crawls down the stairs. And when he's talking, that is really not an offensive impression. You see the film and you will realize that is actually...
He literally calls it the cerebral palsy phase.
Yeah, the cerebral palsy phase of being on Quaaludes.
That's not
a drug that you can't even get anymore.
It's gone. I heard a story once that Robert Plant, because they took Quaaludes back in the Zeppelin days.
Get the loons.
Zeppelin did drugs. What? So no,
that's
crazy. He said he wasn't really the drug guy in the. It was mainly Page and Bonham.
Yeah.
And then John Paul Jones was like sneaky. He did more than he let on, but he wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And then Robert Plant wasn't that bad, but he was like, I did Quaaludes, and I was never that cool with them, and I still have three in a jar that I never bothered taking.
Yeah.
And he had named his three Quaaludes that he'd never taken. It was Tom, Dick and Mary.
Wow.
So he has, in his house somewhere, Robert Plant's three Quaaludes from the 70s called Tom, Dick and Mary.
I must say, Jonah Hill is brilliant in that film because
he's fantastic.
You're sitting there thinking, oh my God, I would just hate you if I knew that guy. I
love the way,
like, because he's such a dick in the film, but then you see him in real life and he actually seems like a lovely guy.
In interviews, he was like, you're not supposed to judge your character, and they say you're supposed to find the likable qualities so you can portray him.
But there's no likable, there's no likable qualities to that character. He's just a massive wanker, especially with the scene with John Berenthal where he gets him arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's such a wanker, and you're just kind of like, oh. At the end of the film, you're like, I just want you to just crash and burn in a giant hellball fire of whatever.
Interesting fact about the film. I did some fact checking.
Yeah.
Not fact checking, that sounds lame.
At the end of the film, you know, at the end of the film, you know, actually, John, I was wondering, because I actually haven't Googled it and I've been meaning to. You know the way it goes over the crowd when he's doing his motivational speech and it focuses on two guys?
Yeah.
Is that actually your man?
No, that was
that's what I thought.
He's the guy Jordan Belfort.
Yeah.
He introduces DiCaprio in that scene.
Oh, that's actually that's actually Jordan Belfort. Okay.
Jordan Belfort introducing.
Oh, okay.
So
he was the massive dickhead who blew cocaine up a prostitute's butt.
And stole from a lot of people.
And divorced his wife.
And if the film is to be believed, which is based on the book...
For a hotter lady.
He hit his wife pretty hard.
No, that's his second wife. I'm talking about his first wife.
He hit Alice.
Oh, yeah.
In the ribs.
He, like, slaps her in the face and then full-on punches her in the...
And I'd be sure... I was surprised...
I'm gonna punch you in your uterus!
I'm so surprised Belford, like, wrote some of that stuff down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like...
Even... there was some pretty, like, dwarf throwing...
The dwarf.
Hitting your wife in the ribs.
Hitting your wife in the ribs.
Stealing your child.
Crashing a car with your child in the car.
Pretty bad stuff.
Getting cerebral palsy from taking so many bad
overdubs. I don't know what this says about me, but when I heard, because I watched an interview or two after, and DiCaprio was like, the reason I liked the book so much was, I was like, why would he reveal that stuff?
Yeah.
And I was, the first thing that came to my mind was that he came 11 seconds into his first sexual experience with
his second wife. For some
reason, the first thing that crossed my mind was like, why would you write that down? As opposed to throwing dwarfs hitting your wife.
Well, but the thing,
I don't know what that says about me.
But I think that's
just a funny thing.
But throwing dwarves is a funny thing and stuff like that. But that is a much more embarrassing thing for a man to write down when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, hitting your wife is really bad, and that's worse. Like, you can go to jail for that.
And throwing
dwarves
is
bad.
Because they're people.
But it's a funny thing. But openly admitting that you dropped your load after 11 seconds is kind of an embarrassing thing for a guy to admit. So I can understand why DiCaprio would be like, why the fuck would you admit that?
Yeah.
That is an odd one. But like,
it is
a brilliant film. It is a great film.
It's just weird.
It's
great, but it's like, it's almost like it was made by a new up and comer.
Yeah.
It's just kind of mad.
You wouldn't think it's Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a lot of ways you would.
The swearing.
A lot of the swearing and the drugs and stuff. But for him to be 71 and to make that film...
I just can't imagine him directing again the cocaine at the bottom scene.
Because he seems like such a, when he's hearing in interviews, he's just like a really soft spoken.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic, almost childlike. So
imagine him just going, blow it up her ass.
Yeah.
Whoa! Marty, calm down.
About the plane scene that he was really like.
Oh, the orgy on the plane.
He was just like, okay, so maybe if you could. Put your hand there, if that's okay with you guys. By the way, it's an orgy on a plane.
There's an orgy on a plane. There's a lot of orgies in the film.
There's two big ones.
One's a gay one.
One's a gay one. There's a gay one scene and then a heterosexual-ish.
It's very heterosexual.
That's weird.
And then there's that really weird bit when it shows him in Las Vegas and he's walking across the room and to wake the prostitute up, he just squeezes her boobs. What are you, like, inflating her or something? Yeah. she's awake, finally.
Oh, there was that weird bit as well where one of the guys gets blown in an elevator.
And it's a glass elevator.
So everyone can see it. And then yeah. she ends up marrying him.
Even though she blew everyone in the office.
Oh, this is a weird film.
Oh, such a weird film. Ugh. Such a weird film. But, see, I can understand why Scorsese would be annoyed as well that all these people are like, oh my god, it glamorizes all that stuff that they were doing and
it
taking money.
Glamorize
it. It doesn't glamorize it. Like, at the end of the film, I was genuinely thinking, what?
I was like, yeah.
I want to be that guy. Not really.
I did hear there was one reviewer had a review.
Not really.
One reviewer had a review. It's like, okay, now our judgment may be clouded. We did think it glamorized... It glamorized the lifestyle.
Yeah.
But only because we saw it with a group of Wall Street bankers who cheered whenever Jordan So apparently these guys, it was a private screening and there was another Wall Street bankers at it. And they kind of, there was like a drinks reception around. So they were all pretty...
Liquored up.
Like, there was the other scene where he's been sober for 2 years and then there's the fight scene, he hits his wife and stuff.
Yes.
And then he rips his secret stash of cocaine.
Yeah, he pulls back
that
cocaine.
That didn't just get a laugh, that got a cheer. And like
standing ovation, yeah.
Because he found his secret stash of cocaine
from
the Wall Street bankers. So the reviewer was like, so listen, like if we might have to watch it again, but we saw it with a group of Wall Street bankers who thought he was the greatest gift to Earth ever.
Yeah.
So basically Wall Street's a weird place.
Yeah. I don't know what was it. They're smoking crack in the bathrooms.
Oh yeah!
We should run. Let's run!
It's a bit where he starts laughing.
Yeah,
that's the crazy.
Like it is really.
Oh,
good.
That scene where it's in the bar just before that, when it's like, I heard you married your cousin.
Oh yeah.
Like, well,
yeah, Jonah.
She
yeah, spoiler alert. Jonah Hill is married to his cousin in the film.
Which is that was a weird scene.
That was weird.
It's like, well, she grew up hot, so I wasn't gonna let any other guy touch my cousin. So.
That's such a disgusting and weird logic. Like, that is terrifying.
Such a weird character.
And so many cameos in it, like.
Yeah, like Rob Reiner. And
Rob
Don
Reiner,
Favreau,
Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley.
Spike Jones.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't know. He looks like he's during his midlife crisis with the mustache and he looks like really, his face is really droopy.
Yeah.
Who else was in it? Jean Desjardins from The Artist, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know his second wife from something. I've seen her in something else.
She's Australian. I think she was in Neighbours or something. It's probably something more legitimate.
It's not Neighbours. I'm going to have to IMDb it because I think I know her from something.
She was very good, actually.
She was quite good. That whole bit where they're the nanny can be. Hey,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you notice something odd about Mr. Snuggle Bear's eyes? I'll explain it. So, basically what has happened is, his second wife realizes that he's cheating on her all the time, because he cheats on a lot of women all the time. And she decides that to punish him, she's going to wear no panties.
Yeah.
And is showing him her... yeah.
I hear that's the medical term.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. You all know what I'm getting at.
And there's a certain amount of teasing going on.
Yeah, a certain amount of teasing going on. And then it turns out he has a nanny cam in the...
In the room. In the
eyes of the teddy bear that is hooked into the security camera.
And the two security guards
of the two
watching.
Security guards, Rocco and Rocco.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They're watching the whole
thing. Yeah. They're watching her do her... thing.
And it's positioned exactly where
Jon Favreau was in it as well. I didn't remember he was in it. I completely forgot about that. Who else? I'm looking through what other cameos are in it. Oh, the guy from My Name is Earl.
He wasn't. Why he's weird because he was in a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
He didn't talk.
Yeah.
Did he even have a line? I don't think he had a line.
No, he definitely had a line.
Because he did the inquiry
bits at the end, he talks then.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty quiet most of the time, though.
Yeah.
I like the guy, the Ming fella.
Oh,
that
yeah,
scene
Mr. Ming.
Where he's just eating donuts.
Yeah.
Are you going to have the rest of that?
You going to finish that Danish?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's very good, but anyone who is like...
Not for the faint heart.
It's not for the faint heart. Anyone who doesn't like seeing drug use or... is offended by sexual things in... just don't go and see the film, because you will be washing your eyes out with soap. And like attempt and not having even. And having like brain surgery in an attempt to
like,
just
I thought
forget.
I was pretty open minded, and even I was like, oh wow,
yeah.
Oh. And I mean, like, no, I, like, I'm not saying like it was all for the purpose.
You're
of
not a prude, stuff, so. You know. You're not like, ew.
I'm not prude, but even I felt dirty leaving the cinema.
Yeah, I think everyone.
But
felt
it was all worth it
bit.
For the artistic experience.
Just
that was
just
part of the point, just to show. How hedonistic
just
it was
a teeny tiny bit dirty.
Like there's nothing there's nothing there for the sake of it being there. It's all there for the purpose of the story.
Wow, your man actually just,
yeah.
Your man Jordan Belfort has produced a load of films.
Oh yeah?
Would you like me to name them?
Yeah, sure.
Firestorm, 1997. Which who was in it? Let's see who was in it. It was John Savage.
Okay.
Why not? It's probably one of those things where it's like some young up-and-coming actor who's now massive. Oh, Robert Carradine? Carradine?
Oh, he's
yeah. Skeletons, 1997 also. Okay. Producer again. Ron's Christopher Plummer. Holy shit. He got Christopher Plummer. He made a film called... He was producer of a film called The Elevator.
Okay.
When was he finally arrested? Because this is all like 97, 96. Martin Landau was in it.
I thought he was arrested before. Maybe
Martin Sheen. Oh, Prey of the. Anyone good in that one? He seems to do a lot with someone called Paul Bartel, whoever the hell that is.
Okay.
I don't know. He's. It sounds like a Santa with muscles. An evil millionaire gets amnesia and then believes he is Santa Claus. And would you like to know who plays the evil millionaire, Dara?
Oh yes.
Hulk Hogan. Who the fuck else? Mila Kunis was in it.
That was probably an early one. The first. That was
that
one
I
films,
like.
I'd have to assume.
And Ed Begley Jr.
Okay.
It got 2.2 stars out of a possible 10 on IMDb.
So okay.
Oh, The Secret Agent Club. This was his first. This is his first producer credit.
Okay.
Okay, the biography of the film. To the world, Ray Chase is nothing more than a klutzy, overgrown toy seller whose wife passed away a few years ago, and his only son, Jeremy, doesn't get to see him very often because he's always away on business trips, in inverted commas. What no one knows, not even Jeremy, is that his dad is a secret agent who flies all around the world completing highly classified missions for a top-secret peacekeeping agency. Unaware of his dad's dangerous yet exciting secret identity, Jeremy's world is utterly normal, but all that changes when Ray returns from a mission, bringing with him a high-powered laser gun he stole from a treacherous female foreign guns dealer. Ray tells... His son, the gun, is only a toy, but his secret comes out when the dealer sends her henchmen to capture Ray and retrieve the gun. The nasty henchmen get Ray, but Jeremy escapes with the wanted firearm. After he learns how to use the laser gun, Jeremy gathers his friends, and together they hatch a clever plan to rescue Ray. Would you like to know who played Ray?
I would definitely like
Hollywood to Hulk Hogan. Once again.
Hulk Hogan got a lot of work out of this. Right, we better wrap it up.
Better wrap it up. So this is basically just the Wolf of Wall Street podcast.
Wolf of Wall Street podcast. Wolf of Wall Street review of sorts.
Yes.
Good film. I'd recommend it, but not for the faint-hearted.
Not for the faint-hearted. If you don't like boobies or boobies, vagina or cocaine, don't go see it because
or
masturbating Jonah Hill.
Which no one likes really. Not even him. I'm
sure. Or a candle up your bottom.
Or a candle up your bottom.
Or gay orgies.
Gay orgies.
Man pretending to have cerebral palsy. Palsy.
Cerebral
palsy.
As a reaction to
the Quaaludes. Cerebral palsy sounds like an old Jewish joke.
That's
oh.
It, no. There's a punk band called Cerebral Palsy.
What is that?
Yeah.
That sounds like, what is that joke? The old Jewish joke of, you know, I got myself a new young wife and I couldn't get erect, so I went to the doctor and the doctor said, you have Alzheimer's. But you could have cerebral palsy as well. I'm trying to think. And if you also don't like Whitney Houston-esque cocaine in the bottom.
Don't go see
or
that.
Rob,
that's in.
Or
that's the first thing.
That's like the first
see,
thing you see.
Think or,
and if you don't
you
and
see.
If you don't like boats and helicopters, don't go see it.
Especially boats. A lot of boats.
A lot of boats. A lot of boats in that movie. If you don't like shirtless John Bernthal, don't go see that movie. That's the guy from The Walking Dead, Shane. Mm. There you go. So, go and see it, because it is quite good. Matthew McConaughey will blow your minds, and then you'll just have to sit there.
This will be our outro. Wolf of Wall Street. See you later.